Welcome to the Florida Roundup here on Florida Public Radio. Thanks for supporting public media. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Well, early voting is off to a roaring start in Florida. As of this morning, 4.8 million people have already cast their ballots across the state. That's a third of all registered voters who have already voted in this election. And keep in mind, Tom, we got another week of this. Voting doesn't end, of course, until November 3rd, Election Day.
Yeah. The last day to vote for 2020 here in this election. More people, in fact, Melissa, have voted by mail already in this election that voted that way during the 2016 general election. And so with millions more still left to vote, we want to hear from you this hour statewide. If you're still undecided, especially undecided voters, let us know what you're wrestling with. Why are you still wrestling with your choice? What are you weighing with your choice to vote? What will sway your final decision? And if you're an independent voter, an NPA in Florida, what do you want to hear from the candidates in these waning days? Undecided, independent voters, your chance to speak out. You are the focus of the campaigns in these final days. Thereafter, your voices. What messages are working? Which ones are missing their mark? 305-995-1800. Undecided NPA voters, voters on the red side, on the blue side, and the undecided side. Same phone number for everybody today, 305-995-1800, or on Twitter at Florida Roundup.
One man tracking all of those voters is Michael McDonald of the University of Florida. He looks at early voting not only in the Sunshine State, but nationwide at the well-regarded the United States Elections Project. It's an information source for the nation's electoral system. Professor McDonald is on the line from Gainesville. And Michael McDonald, good to have you on the show.
Great to be with you.
So your tracker shows, and it's being quoted coast to coast, that nearly 50 million people across the country have already voted early. Really remarkable numbers for early voting. Tell us about the turnout this week in Florida that you're tracking and how it compares to early voting 4 years ago, 2016.
Yeah, so I update this tracker as soon as I get data in, and already this morning we've exceeded 50 million. We're at over 52 million now have voted in the country. In Florida, of course, you already gave the number, it's 4.8 million. That is remarkable, and it's a remarkable pattern we're seeing across the country. We've already exceeded nationally the total number of people who cast election ballots before the 2016 election. We did that yesterday. So with more days of voting to go, I'm expecting somewhere around 85, maybe 100 million people will already cast ballots prior to Election Day.
Wow, that's remarkable. Now, on your website, you try to mine the tea leaves of the early vote. You do show the partisan breakdown of who's voted so far in Florida, Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. Democrats are way up in the numbers. Republicans could come back, though. And in 2016, you correctly predicted from tracking the early vote alone that Donald Trump would need to win Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin to win the Electoral College. Of course, he did end up doing that. When you look at the early vote this time around, what insights can you gain from what we're seeing?
Well, not a lot, because everything's changed so much. And even these numbers that we're looking at in Florida, usually it's Republicans who are voting by mail, or there's at least a very close margin of mail ballots between registered Democrats and Republicans in Florida. And it's in-person early voting where Democrats are voting in large numbers. This election cycle is turned on its head. We are seeing more registered Democrats voting by mail by large margins than in 2016 or past elections. And we're seeing actually more Republicans voting in person, which is where Democrats usually vote. So we still have another week to go. And I don't know where we end up at the end of this week. We need to see what happens. And of course, there's going to be Election Day itself. And the expectation is that Election Day, which has been a very Republican day in past elections, is going to be even more Republican this time. So I, from a state like Florida, I don't think we can really say much until we get all the vote in. But there are some other states where most of the vote will be in, and it will be by mail. I'm talking about these all-mail ballot states like a Colorado and a Nevada, where we should have nearly all of the vote in by Election Day or the day before. And I think there we're going to get good indications of the overall turnout levels in the country I expect several states to exceed their 2016 turnout in just their early vote alone. Texas is getting close to doing that already. And that will give us our turnout read. And then some of these states, like, you know, particularly Colorado and Nevada, they have party registration too. And we'll get a sense of the party registration breakdown compared to 2016 in those states. And that, I think, is going to be, you know, tea leaves about the overall direction of those states, but also could give us some clues. If there's a national swing, we will probably see it in the registered voter breakdown of the early vote in those states as well.
And of course, overlaying all of this is the COVID pandemic. Excuse me. Some people have chosen to vote by mail because they're concerned about the virus. Others are voting in person. What are your thoughts about how the pandemic is affecting the turnout?
Well, we knew that lots of people were going to be voting by mail even before the election started. I had tracked at least 85 million mail ballots that will be sent to voters. And I'm not fully tracking everywhere, so it's probably a little bit more than that. And so we knew that lots of people were going to have mail ballots in their hands. And some of that was because states had already made plans to expand to all mail ballots. Some states made emergency provisions to do that. Other states expanded the excuse reasons. Florida already has a fairly robust mail balloting system, so we didn't really need to change the way in which we run our elections here. But other states were changing to accommodate people who wanted to social distance. So we knew there was going to be a lot of people with ballots. What we didn't quite expect is how many people would be returning those ballots. In states where we do have mail balloting, where there may have been more or less usage of mail balloting in the past, we're seeing mail balloting rates 6 to 8 times at the same point in time in 2016 as they are right now. And that would be like a state like North Carolina, which is unlike Florida. Florida, you know, we have that sort of semi-permanent status where if you request a mail ballot, it's good through 2 general elections. In a state like North Carolina, you have to request it every election to get that mail ballot. And so that's why you're seeing these big numbers multipliers in states like North Carolina and others where people had to request these mail ballots and renew that request every election. The other thing that was surprising and people didn't expect is the in-person early vote. That's running about 2 times the level. And this is a really good news story, so let me really emphasize that. We were very concerned about how election administrators were going to manage a large volume of mail ballots coming back to their offices. And potentially those could come back right at the very end of the election, overwhelm those offices, and cause all sorts of problems, both for election officials and for voters who might have their ballots rejected. By having all these people return these ballots sooner, well, that's good. We're running an election in the midst of a pandemic, and we're successfully doing it. That's great news. And the other great news is that election officials are managing the election better because their workload is spread over more days, and it's helping them administer the election better.
That's an important point. Thanks for pointing that out, too. And get out and vote if you haven't already done so. Follow Michael on Twitter at ElectProject. He's Professor Michael McDonald of University of Florida, and he runs the U.S. Elections Project. Thanks, Professor.
Great to be with you.
305-995-1800. We want to hear from undecided voters, NPAs. We'd like to hear, what are you weighing in these final days of the election? You and your vote, after all, are what the candidates and the campaigns are after in this last week plus before voting ends on Election Day. 305-995-1800. Your phone calls and your tweets from those NPAs and undecideds coming up here in just a matter of moments. This week, some Florida voters found threats in their email inboxes if they didn't vote for President Trump, or, quote, "We will come after you." Did you hear about this story? The emails looked to be sent from the far-right group Proud Boys. The group denied it was involved. And then the director of national intelligence blamed Iran for the emails late this week. Matt Dixon of Politico is following this story and everything else vote-related when it comes to the Sunshine State. He's back with us now. Matt, welcome back to the program. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much for having me. And it's daunting coming after Professor McDonald. He's very
indeed it can be. Yes, indeed.
He's very good. Well, I would recommend following his research.
Absolutely. We'll keep 6 feet of separation as well between you and the good professor too. What's the latest on these email threats that voters, primarily in Central Florida, found in their inboxes on Tuesday?
Well, they seem to, after they spiked up in the news, as I'm sure many folks saw these emails that were branded as they were from the Proud Boys, after they spiked up and kind of dominated a news cycle for a day or two, they appear to have dried up a bit and aren't coming out with frequency or at least not being flagged like they had been previously. As I'm sure many of your listeners saw, the federal government is now has been involved. They said that Iran and Russia, at least they claimed during a sort of a hastily called late night press conference two nights ago, that Iran and Russia had obtained voter information and voter registration data. They didn't necessarily tie those foreign powers to these emails, but there was a strong implication that those emails that came under the Proud Boy banner were actually sent from sort of hostile foreign powers. But we haven't seen, after the past the first round of reporting, we haven't seen a ton more of them the past 24 hours, say.
A ton more of the emails, but boy, still correct. Lots of shadowy information around these emails. Proud Boys, there was a Proud Boy address it came from. They said that they weren't involved. When you looked at when cyber experts looked at the metadata, they said it came through Estonia, right? A former Soviet republic, right? And then you had the DNI, the defense, the director of national intelligence, come out and say it was Iran and Russia. In addition to threatening voters, though, the emails also claim to have gotten access to, quote, the entire voting infrastructure. Is there any evidence of that?
No, there isn't. And it's important to point out, well, there isn't as of yet. There's no public, nothing publicly reported. That's an important caveat because there might be a lot we don't know publicly. But it is important to note and for your listeners to keep in mind that registration data and things associated with that is a public record. Anyone listening to my voice right now can go out and get voter registration information. You don't need to hack anything or you don't need to take any nefarious steps to go and get that information. So it's unclear what the email was even referencing when they said voting infrastructure. I'm not clear what that term actually means. But if they're talking about registration data and information related to specific voters, anyone can get that. But here's the most important part to remember from an intimidation standpoint. Nobody knows who you actually vote for. If you're a registered Republican, you can vote for Democrats and vice versa. So people will know what party you're registered with, but nobody will ever know unless you tell them who you voted for. So if anything, any email or anything ever says anything contrary, that's just not the case.
So what has been the response from elections officials here in Florida? We know that some members of the Florida congressional delegation have asked for a briefing from national intelligence agencies, including the FBI and others. What about the response from the Florida Secretary of State, who is kind of sitting over all of the county supervisor of elections?
There hasn't been much of one at the state level. They actually were not responding to media questions for roughly 2 days after the initial reports. They put out a statement on, I believe it was Wednesday night, fairly late, just saying that they were aware of this and they had handed things over to law enforcement officials. At the local level, we've talked to, I don't know, a dozen supervisors of elections at this point. In each case, because it's ongoing, they didn't get into great detail, but each has said they had turned the emails over to the FBI. Yeah. And the FBI, actually, the Jacksonville office took the rare step of issuing a statement while the investigation was ongoing and acknowledged they were also aware of this.
Matt Dixon is with Politico. He's with us for the whole hour. If you received one of those emails, let us know. Really wanting to hear this hour from undecided voters in PAs, but of course the millions of Floridians who've already cast ballots. Tell us what got your vote. What swayed your decision in this 2020 election? 305-995-1800. 305-995-1800.
Let's begin with Philippe in Cutler Bay. He's no party affiliation. Philippe, hey, how are you doing? Thanks for calling the Florida Roundup. So who will get your vote?
Hi, good morning. As I was telling your producer, I am a immigrant from Haiti, been living in this country 44 years, and I always voted Democratic. And last election, 2016, I still voted for the Democratic candidate, but ever since, I became an NPA because I'm not satisfied with the system. But guess what? This time around, I can't vote for Trump. and will not vote for Trump and any Republican, because look what my biggest issue, I'm 62, going 63, the affordable health care is one of my main concerns. And they voted how many times? 42 times. And it was this senator from Arizona that stopped them from killing the bill.
Yeah, you're talking about the late John McCain. So health care is your big issue.
Correct.
Then, Philippe? That's driving your vote?
The big issue? So many of them. Health care, the environment, there's so many of them. Because, let's stay with health care. The Republican promised a new plan. I'm still waiting for it. And we are all Americans waiting for it.
Philippe, thanks for the call. So Matt Dixon of Politico, there you had a lifelong Democratic voter, but he left the party, but he's still going to vote for Joe Biden. And in this pandemic, health care has been a defining issue. People are concerned about coverage for pre-existing conditions, in particular since the pandemic has created some new ones for some patients out there. And so as you write about health care and how that's driving the vote in Florida, particularly I would think among senior voters too, what are you hearing from voters out there? How much do you think health care is a factor in this election?
Sure. Well, it's really the intersection of Obamacare going for the Supreme Court and the real chance that you know, Obamacare is repealed, intersecting with a global pandemic. So we really do have healthcare in the forefront. And one of the interesting parts, the senior vote is obviously a huge one in Florida. It generally sways Republican and has been supportive of the president. We did a few stories on this where public polling has that gap closer than it has been in the past. I forget the number specifically, but the gap between President Trump and Joe Biden with voters over 65 is closer than it historically is in Florida between Democrats and Republicans. And we interviewed several. We talked to folks, of course, in the villages and other areas of the state, and some of them did point to the president's pandemic response, specifically things like masks. And there was the anecdotes that would come up about, well, I want to see my grandkids. You know, I live close to them. I can't do that anymore. I think while those are just anecdotes from individual interviews, I think there is a real strain on the mind of senior voters about some of some of those elements and some of those corollary issues with the pandemic and healthcare at large.
The president, by the way, will be in the villages and in Pensacola this afternoon and this evening. Vice President Mike Pence coming to Lakeland and Tallahassee this weekend. Former President Barack Obama coming to South Florida on Monday in Jacksonville. Senator Kamala Harris came and made a couple of stops in North Florida. So for the next week or so, Matt, we're going to be treated to a lot more of this as the candidates barnstorm this swing state. We want to hear from you, Florida, particularly if you're a no-party affiliated voter. Give us a call about the election as we talk about early voting and this campaign. We'll get you on the line now and connect you in a few minutes. It's 305-995-1800 to join us here on the Florida Roundup. 305-995-1800. Tweet us at Florida Roundup. Here's one tweet. Remind people that after October 24th, which is tomorrow, you can still request a vote by mail ballot, but you got to go pick it up at your supervisor's office. More to come next here on the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for being with us this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville.
And I'm Tom Hudson in Miami. Thanks for supporting public media. We're talking about the vote, of course. Millions of Floridians have already cast ballot. Tens of thousands are casting ballots each day through vote-by-mail ballots and voting in person all the way to the last day of voting, which is November 3rd. Matt Dixon is still with us. He is a reporter in Tallahassee for Politico. And we want to hear from NPA voters, particularly undecided voters in these waning days of the election. 305-995-1800. 305-995-1800. Also want to hear your experiences if you've already voted. What was the process like? What questions do you still have as you cast your ballot? Daryl in St. Augustine is on line 3. Daryl, go ahead. You're on the radio.
Thank you. Yeah, yesterday I got an email. I was actually addressed to my son, and it had like an I voted sticker. It said it, but it looked like I voted from my living room, and it was asking me to click on a link to get a mail-in ballot. And I was like, I've never done a mail-in ballot. Mm-hmm. My son's never done a mail-in ballot. You know, is this a scam to try to get me, you know, to not vote? It just seemed like it was directing me towards something other than, it just seemed fishy. Has anybody else got anything like that?
Daryl, I can tell you that you can request a ballot online, but through your county election supervisor's office. You have to go to that county's election supervisor's office and request it online. You can do all that electronically, and they will give you confirmation that they've received that request. And then, of course, the ballot gets mailed out via snail mail. Did you get any idea of what that link?
Affiliation.
None. Okay.
Had no affiliation to a county and had no affiliation to a party. It was just click this link to get your mail-in ballot, which, you know, they could never send it. You could not vote because it comes by and passed, or you could get a ballot that's fraudulent. It definitely seemed like it was trying to bait and switch me.
Seems like a fishing expedition of some kind, fishing with the PH on that one, Daryl. The wise man to avoid that. You're going to cast your ballot? Have you voted yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a NPA, but the Republican Party left the Republican Party when they joined with Trump, so I'm going with Biden because they don't represent small government or any of the other things that are traditional Republican, you know, values. So I'll go with the old politician over the crazy, whatever you want to call them, the crazy movie star.
Your words, Daryl. I appreciate it. But thanks for sharing your thoughts on the politics as well as that experience online. Daryl in St. Augustine there at 305-995-1800.
KC is with us from Clearwater as we take your calls from all over the state of Florida this Friday lunch hour. Hey, KC, tell us about your vote and where you stand.
Good afternoon. How are you both?
We're doing great, thanks. Good to hear from you.
Okay, I'm an NPA. I was a registered Democrat, but I really didn't think that the Democrats were capable of doing anything over the Obama years because the Republicans were blocking the House, or the Senate, rather, and the Congress was not working very well together. So this year, I'm going to be voting for Biden because Mr. Trump has taken a few too many liberties with our constitutional rights and amendments. He's bending the rules. He's doing things that are not considered to be conventional in politics. He has separated us from many of our allies. He is not addressing the primary concerns of this nation, which is the judicial reforms. He's playing games with overseas commodities and tariffs and things of that nature, which I believe in some ways he did to gain endorsements from his base. But I still know people in the farmland that are not doing so great, and we're subsidizing them. He's taken back a lot of the things that Obama's tried to do with health care, which is a major concern in my book. And I really don't like the fact that he's buddy-buddy with this guy in Russia, Vladimir Putin.
Wow, so you've got a long list then, don't you?
Yes, and so at the very least, I want the Congress and the Senate to cooperate together. That is one thing I have not heard anybody addressing in decades. I'm pretty much fed up with it. The Republicans have acted disgracefully in the impeachment hearings and all sorts of stuff. They've been playing a circus, and like your previous caller said, the Republicans have basically disposed of the Republican Party as I knew it. And I was a staunch supporter of John McCain. I actually voted for him in his previous attempt at the White House. And when Donald Trump opened his mouth and disparaged a war veteran of the United States Navy, a POW. He lost my vote that day. And I still gave him a chance to do something with the rest of the country. But you don't do that to a veteran. You don't disparage a man with way more integrity. Here's Donald Trump avoiding the Vietnam draft because his daddy had a podiatrist in his building and wrote
Yeah. And KC, just listening to you talk and also the previous caller who had a different, you know, party affiliation than you, although you're both now MPAs, I think listening to you talk just now and the other callers we've had on the show just gives you an idea of how intensely felt this election is for so many voters out there. And I want to thank you for calling in, KC, and sharing your thinking on this. Thanks so much. All right, let's go to Matt Dixon of Politico. Matt, we just heard from two NPA voters in Florida, one a former Republican, one a former Democrat. And in Florida, those votes could be decisive because we usually decide these elections by about a point, and about a third of the electorate out there are like the gentleman that just called us, not a member of either party.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it should be pointed out that this isn't necessarily new this election cycle. It's coming to a head now because the numbers are so great, but the no party affiliated or those with no major political party have long been the fastest growing voter group in Florida. Is sort of those who have been registered with the major political parties feel sort of disaffected or you know, falling out of favor with those groups. So I think the two callers that you just had are fairly representative of groups who are kind of getting sick of the traditional political parties and are going the no party affiliated route. So I think that was certainly interesting.
Yeah. And how about listening to these guys lay out, you know, their list of grievances? They've been paying very close attention to all of the controversies and issues of the last 4 years. I've really been struck, Matt, by how engaged voters are and how closely they're following the twists and turns of this. They're reading, they're engaging, they know the issues, they're paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, in the era of Trump, watching politics has sort of become the national sport. I mean, previously there was an idea that, you know, not having to think about the federal government, not having to think about the White House on a day-to-day basis for most Americans was kind of, you know, the norm, unless there was a scandal or a screw-up. Whereas, you know, today that's obviously changed with, you know, both the way the media covers it and also, you know, some of the decisions being made and the scandal coming out of the White House. So I think, you know, the awareness of what's happening in our domestic politics is at an all-time high. And it'll be interesting to see if, you know, if it ever gets back to what was at least perceived as normal before. But you're right, we hear from readers all the time, there's definitely a high level of awareness with almost every turn of the screw with this election and kind of the things that Congress are doing.
Every tweet and every retweet, as
right.
The case may be here, right, Matt? 305-995-1800. Or speaking of tweets, you can send us your thoughts as an NPA undecided voter at Florida Roundup. In South Florida, Hollywood, Joni is up next. Joni, you're on the radio. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a Green. I've been a Green since 2004, but I was living in Oklahoma until a few years ago when I came to take care of my mom down here in South Florida. And was
sorry, Joni, let me interrupt. A Green, meaning a Green political party?
Yeah, Green Party.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And just like the Libertarian Party, we're on enough ballots to conceivably win the Electoral College, although that's not going to happen. But because the Republican and Democrats are both funded by the same corporations who hedge their bets and bring us closer to extinction, I couldn't be a Democrat anymore.
And so you voted for the Green Party candidate this time?
Absolutely. It was a tough call because Trump is just, he's a symptom of what we're getting with this corporate politics, a symptom of populism that's scary in a lot of ways. And every time the Democrats run a lackluster candidate, we get a worse and worse populist candidate. And Trump is going to look good in another 4 to 8 years. because of that approach and because of shutting out third parties, which is, I wish we had ranked choice voting across the nation because we could actually have the people be represented.
Joni, I appreciate you adding your voice to it. The third party voice, Joni in Hollywood. Matt Dixon, we haven't heard much about, if at all, really, about third parties in this election cycle compared to what we had, 4 years ago in the primaries, and certainly what we had maybe a half a generation or so ago.
Yeah, no, that's right. It is. She said she's a Green Party, a registered with the Green Party. In 2016, Jill Stein was their candidate and got almost 65,000 votes in Florida. So it was a noticeable chunk. But Jill Stein had a fairly big, a much larger campaign presence than any third party this election cycle. They've really kind of been drowned out in 2020 by the Democrats, Republicans, the traditional top of the ticket. So I wouldn't predict necessarily that any of those MPA candidates will get as much attention as, say, like a Gary Johnson or Jill Stein of the Green Party did in 2016.
But could votes like Joni at the margin in Florida, which is a less than 1% state, make a difference come the evening of November 3rd?
Oh, without question. Donald Trump won this state by 113,000 votes in 2016. So absolutely, this is a state that is not only the nation's largest swing state, but it sort of hinges on a very, very, very small margin. So every vote has a significance to it, without question.
Matt, question about that. You know, in 2016, the third party vote was pretty high for Jill Stein and, mm-hmm. and a couple other people, the Libertarian candidate. This cycle, the percentages are so, so much lower. Yes, it matters on the margins, but it seems that for the vast majority of voters, this is a binary choice.
Yeah, without question. I mean, I think we had talked about healthcare and there are other specific policy issues that are important to voters. But I think largely the umbrella issue of this election cycle is a referendum on the future of the country. I mean, I think that is kind of, as you laid out there, it's a binary choice between President Trump and Joe Biden. I think they have, you know, drastic, very different views for the future of the country. And I think that's what's driving, you know, voters to a large degree this election cycle.
Yeah. We're speaking with Matt Dixon of Politico about the election. We'll go to a few more of your calls in a few more minutes at 305-995-1800. And, you know, let us know what your questions are about your ballot, about the voting process, and particularly if you are an NPA or undecided voter. There may still be a few of you out there. We want to hear from you. Let us know in the closing days of this campaign where you stand and what's driving your vote. We have been hearing from voters across the state. You are listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. And there's so much interest in this because early voting, as we've been talking about, is absolutely off the charts across Florida and across much of the country. Millions of Florida residents have already voted by mail or in person. You've got about another week to cast your ballot if you want to vote early. If you want to request a mail-in ballot, you do need to do that by, I believe it's tomorrow. So if you plan to vote by mail, you need to hurry up and do that, or you need to stand in line and vote early one day next week, or you need to come out on Election Day and vote and cast that ballot. Now, we are looking forward to a few more of your calls, but right now, we want to share voices of voters across Florida's I-4 corridor. That's the part of the state that tends to swing elections. And we've been hearing their thoughts on the upcoming election as they tell us in their own words. Today, we meet Miles Suber of St. Petersburg.
I'm a New Yorker who lives in Florida now, so I'm a Floridian. And I vote. I'm a veteran. I defended this country and was prepared to give my life for this country. The franchise is everything. That's how we decide things in America. State and local decisions affect my life more than federal decisions affect my life. State and local are where the rubber meets the road. A perfect example. I'm in Florida. We voted for people who have been convicted of felonies to be re-enfranchised, and the state has figured out a way to disenfranchise them. You can't be a black man and live in the skin that I live in and not have felt racial injustice. And the coronavirus is yet a manifestation a racial injustice. All you have to do is look at the data and look at the people who are dying. I think I have more confidence at the municipal and state level than at the federal level, simply because the municipal and state hear from the people directly. They can see the damage directly. They're not in a bubble. They're not far away. It's people they know. Last year at this time, I think we were gearing up for the impeachment hearings on President Trump. That was something that I didn't really, really agree with, simply because he won the election. And whether you like it or not, he won. You can't put the toothpaste back into the container. I mean, the guy won the election. The election has consequences. Democracy means that everyone gets a voice, everyone gets a vote, what is counted, whoever has the majority wins. I'm not saying it's the best system, but it's our system. So therefore, that's what democracy
Five, your mics are
everybody
open.
Gets a vote. Everybody gets a voice. Majority wins.
And that was Miles Suber of St. Petersburg. WUSF's Bradley George produced this audio postcard, as we call it. It's part of America Amplified, a national reporting initiative supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. These are voters in the I-4 corridor. You can listen to others in the series at WUSFnews.org.
Undecided voters, NPA voters, conservatives, liberals, Democrats, Republicans, same phone number for everybody. We want to hear across the state this voting underway in Florida, 305-995-1800. John in Tampa, Manny in Orlando, your phone calls to come. Add yours, 305-995-1800 on the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup here on Florida Public Radio. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Calls coming in from all across the state about the election, early voting, which is just off the chain, busy across Florida as people of all political persuasions are working to get their ballot in. Are you one of them? We want to hear from you here on the Florida Roundup as we continue the conversation with Matt Dixon of Politico. It's 305-995-1800. John is calling from Tampa. Hi, John. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much for having my call. It's actually from Stamford, but that's fine.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually a registered Republican. This is the first election I'm going to be able to vote in since Ronald Reagan. Got my rights restored and pretty excited to vote.
Do you have a prior felony conviction, but you got your rights restored?
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
Great.
Mm-hmm. I was thrilled to do that. I mean, I had to jump through some hoops, but, you know, I was able to do it. So it is possible. And I'm a Caucasian, and I know, you know, it does seem, I'm getting off my original thing, but it does seem like they do want to kind of control the voting by keeping some of the minorities with convicted felons from not being able to vote. But that's not the reason why I called. What I wanted to say was that I am going to vote for Donald Trump. I've never seen, and even because I wasn't able to vote, still doesn't mean I didn't follow politics. I've never seen in all of my 55 years of life a president who has been picked apart by everyone, and everything that he says has been criticized and ripped apart for everything. Of course, with this pandemic, nobody expected this. This is something we all know that we've never, ever had to deal with, nothing we've had to deal with. So, I mean, the man has not changed his MO. This is Donald Trump from prior to politics. This is the Donald Trump we all know. This, he hasn't changed his game. He's a little narcissist. I mean, that's what it is. But I mean, the guy, I think, has tried his best. He's doing what he has to do. Such a huge, huge, huge issue that he's got to deal with. And to vote for Biden to get Donald Trump out of office is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So please reconsider. Think about it. The man, they had the economy going in the right direction. You cannot blame the racial division on Donald Trump. You can't. That's an individual thing. You can't blame it on the president.
All right, John. And hey, John, I appreciate you calling. Let's go back to Matt Dixon. So that was an interesting caller, Matt. Someone with a prior felony conviction who had to get his rights restored. And that's been a really closely followed bucket of voters here in Florida for a number of reasons, but also a Trump supporter.
Right. Well, what I actually think is kind of interesting there is he talked about how he thinks President Trump is a narcissist, which is kind of language often used by President Trump's opponents to color him in a bad light and to try to convince voters not to vote for him. So I think it's an interesting sort of observation that caller had sort of internalized and understood the president might be a narcissist but still wanted to support him. And I think, you know, it's an interesting snapshot into the president's supporters. They're very passionate and very loyal and can sometimes, you know, see even things that they deem warts, but are still going to support him.
Lots of voters to hear from. Manny in Orlando, you're up next. Go ahead, Manny.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'm from Cuban descent. I've been in the U.S. since 1968. I became a citizen in the 70s. And I voted Republican all my life. But this time, you know, first of all, I'd like to say the Republicans have done a great job linking the Hispanic community, but specifically Cubans and Venezuelans, right? Mm-hmm. Scaring them with the linking the Democrats with socialism. So, you know, so the community hears this and, you know, that gets them riled up. I mean, really, really afraid. And I think a better threat to democracy and a bigger threat to democracy and the United States is Trump, because he has dictator tendencies, not only in the way he expresses himself and the things that that he says, but look at the way he feels about these other dictators around the world. So I mean, this is like another Castro in the making. Really. But I don't think the Democrats have done a good job of, you know, of expressing this to the Hispanic community. And like I said, specifically to the Cubans and the Venezuelans. And,
Manny, I appreciate you adding your voice to this from Central Florida. It's such an important part, not only geography where you are, Manny, but when talking about the real multicultural Hispanic Latin vote in Florida, and particularly in South Florida. President Trump has credited that Cuban American vote in 2016 for helping carry Florida, which allowed him to win the White House 4 years ago.
Yeah, interesting to get his thoughts too about the non-Cuban Latino vote in the state.
Yep.
Elena is in Cooper City, Broward County. Elena, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for having me on air. First of all, I want to say that I agree with the people who previously speak, the Trump supporters. I'm an NPA. But this year, I'm going to vote for Trump, and I'll tell you why. This time, it really feels like it's common sense against the craziness. It really feels like it's working class against parasites. It's people who want security who are against those who want chaos in this country. I was undecided, but this time, at Biden's campaign, I was following and paying attention and reading, listening to the news. When he announced his runner-up, Kamala Harris, and even before, weeks before he announced or he said that it's going to be a black woman, I felt that this party is basically lying to us when they say in the day against racism. Because choosing a runner-up, a candidate based on gender and race, is just going against what they want us to believe in. These people are really playing this game of being against racism, but on the other hand, look what they're doing.
Elena, thanks for your thoughts. Thank you for the call. And this is the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio.
Let's hear from Ronnie in Tampa now. Ronnie, go ahead. You're on the radio.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. I am an NPA, and, you know, I've always been an NPA because, for one, I think the political parties on both ends, they are very extreme in terms of their views. They play to their fundamentalist nature, constituents, instead of doing something that may be in the better interest of the nation. So I've kept my options open in terms of, you know, who I want to vote for. And I think the Democrats are lacking in their ability to bring out the key issues in terms of telling the nation why Trump should be voted out. You know, COVID is one thing, of course. You know, he's got a very lousy dealing with COVID. His whole handling of COVID, Donald Trump, has been way subpar. I think some of the issues that really should drive the election is that if you're dealt a hand, you got to play with that, you know. And unfortunately, we have to go by something that may be considered the lesser of the two evils. And what is the evil with Biden? Well, Mr. Biden is old. You know, the Democratic Party sometimes has been very extreme, very liberal views in a lot of ways. While it claims, everybody claims to be friendly with small business, I am a small business owner myself. You know, right. I feel that businesses suffer when some of these policies really add too much expense to the small business versus actually helping. So having said that,
Ronnie, we're going to leave it there. We got a few more voices in here. I apologize for interrupting and cutting you short, but a lot of Floridians want to get their voice to this. But that's Ronnie in Tampa. Thanks
and
for calling
yeah,
me,
lots of tweets coming into the show. Here's one from a listener. I am a Republican, but I am voting for Biden. Trump has done a good job at vilifying and discrediting any media that oppose him. To me, for patriots who love America, Trump is in direct opposition to that belief. Another tweet. Turnout is extremely high from what we campaign workers are seeing across the country and in South Florida. I've made get out the vote calls for over a decade, and I have never seen people more committed, even from people who are usually less likely to vote. Okay. Can we, let's do one more call. Let's quickly, let's go to John in West Palm Beach. John, go ahead. We've just got a minute or so left.
You know, there are so many things to say, but I am a conservative writer, but I find it unconscionable that any conservative would vote for Donald Trump. One of your previous callers just spoke about, the Spanish community not being able to vote for Biden. And one of their mantras is socialistic programs Biden supposedly fosters. I don't understand this because this country is based on many socialist programs, but Biden does not foster any of them, except he must be speaking about Obamacare. So for these guys to say that they don't support Biden because of socialism, Democrats must get the word out that this is just a bunch of hot air that Trump.
Thanks, John. Matt Dixon. We've got an interesting sampling of opinion from across the state, and I think it reflects just how close this race will be in Florida.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that last caller specifically sort of hit on one of the messaging tension points. Joe Biden's been a 40-year, you know, sort of moderate, and they're trying to brand him as an extreme sort of person. And that's it's sort of in the messaging from Republicans, and it's interesting to hear how our voters are digesting that.
Matt, with so much early voting and the ability for election officials to count those ballots ahead of election night, do you expect it to be a long night as we await the results in Florida at least?
Yeah, just because it's going to be razor thin, I think it can be a long night here. Okay. Just because it's close, even if there isn't any, you know, election mishaps.
Matt Dixon, covering Florida politics for Politico. Great to have you on for the whole hour. Thanks, Matt.
We are ready for a long night or more than one night, and that's our show, the Florida Roundup from WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Heather Schatz and Denise Royal are the producers.
Jason Zabka is the WLRN Director of Radio Programming, our Technical Director and the Director of Radio Operations, the same guy, Peter Meritz. Engineering help from Doug Peterson, Charles Michaels, and Josh Torres. Richard Ives answers the phones. Theme music is provided by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at aaronlibos.com. I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next Friday at noon.